Psalm 118, starting to read at verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. In my anguish I cried to the Lord, and he answered by setting me free. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He's my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord I cut them off. They swarmed around me like bees, but they died out as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord I cut them off. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die, but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever.
Thanks, Rob. Hey, there's a ton of things that we could say from Psalm 118, but just will you look with me very briefly at verses 8 and 9, just to share something briefly as we move into the new year. So this psalm holds up to us a truth, and it is this: it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. My guess is that lots of us get to the end of this year, and there have been many occasions that we can recall where we have kind of looked for help outside of ourselves. So we have run to places or to people because we've needed help, we've needed shelter, we've needed someone to trust and depend upon. I guess you can all think of circumstances like that. But this psalm holds up to us that it is better, it's not that the other things are wrong, but it is better by far to run to the Lord, to seek him as a refuge. If you just look at verse 8 and 9, it parallels, doesn't it? The refuge and trust. So to take refuge in something is to trust in that thing, to put your kind of hope in it, your security. It is better to trust in the Lord. Now, why? When we read Lord here, if you notice, it's all in capital letters. That's kind of the Hebrew term Yahweh, which, as you read backwards from the New Testament, means we can read that as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's all of them together. It's better to take refuge in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, why? Well, just scan an eye through this psalm with me, and you'll begin to build a profile of why it is better to trust in the Lord. Look at verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. He's good to His core. He's good to the very center of His being. Think about creation. Creation is an overflow of who God is. And what does He declare every day? And he saw what He had made, and it was good. It's better to take refuge in God because He's good. Verse 1 and 2 and 3, if you just scan an eye down there, verse 4, verse 29, what do they all declare? Well, let's go for one in verse 29. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. It doesn't run out. It's not temporary. It kind of, this unconditional love which we see demonstrated in the gospel through Jesus Christ, it is just lavished on us, and it is a never-ending love. You can't exhaust it. It won't run out. It's not fickle love. It doesn't die out. It is forever love. It's better to take refuge in the Lord. It's better to trust Him because His love is never ending. Verse 7, what does it say? Why is it better to take refuge in the Lord? Well, the Lord is with me. He is my helper. The Lord has proved over and over again that He is the help of His people. As people have trusted in Him, He's never let them down. That's one other reason. Verse 5, let's just scan there. So I'm just trying to build a profile, okay? If you want to know why it's better, here it is. Verse 5, what does He do? In my anguish I cried to the Lord, and He, what does it say? He answered me. And it says it again a little bit later in verse 21. You see, it is better to take refuge in the Lord. It is not that the help of others is not good. You know, I'm sure that many of us can give testimony this year to sideways help that has been good help. But actually, the best help, it is better to run to the Lord for refuge, to seek His help. Now, sideways help can often help us to look to the Lord, can't it? That's the best sideways help. So the best help we can give to each other is to help one another to run to Jesus, to run to the Lord. So think of Jonathan. When David was struggling, Jonathan helped David to find his strength in the Lord. He helped him to do this, to take refuge in the Lord. So it is better, by far, it is best to take refuge in the Lord. Now, this leads me to what I really want to say, okay? How do you do that? As we enter a new year, how do we as a church family take refuge in the Lord? Well, look at verse 25. Because verse 25 is how we do that practically. It's how you do it on a day-to-day basis. Verse 25 says this: O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. You see, the very thing that marks someone out who is taking refuge in the Lord, who thinks that's the best help, is because they pray. And these are two things that they pray. As we head into 2019, here are two requests that can I encourage you to be praying for us as a church family. As we come to our week of prayer, what can we be praying? Well, here's prayer number one. O Lord, save us. As a family, we recently got a puppy. And this puppy is probably going to become the source of every sermon illustration this year, so I'm really sorry about that. But apart from being the cutest thing on the earth at the moment in our family life, she is really stupid. And she does really silly things, and she kind of gets herself into all sorts of situations that she can't get herself out of. So she ran down this small gap in our house, and she couldn't reverse out. And she gets herself all tangled up in her lead. And as she does these silly things, what does she do? Well, she yelps for help. She just sits there and goes, "Hoo!" or whatever she does, I don't know if that's a very good impression. But she just yelps for help. And actually, do you know what? As followers of our Lord Jesus, we often find ourselves in situations, don't we, where we are in need of some help. We need outside help. We find that there's nothing in ourselves that we can do to sort these things out. And so all we can do is yelp for help. And that's, if I put it more accurately, actually all we can do is pray, O Lord, save us. So you might be sitting here thinking, well, yes, but we are saved, aren't we? Christians are saved. Are you a saved person tonight? I hope some of you can say with confidence, we are. Yes, we are saved people. If you are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can say, I'm a saved person. I have been saved by Jesus. But that doesn't mean that there are not ongoing situations with kind of a small s where we need salvation. We need God's saving help. So as you work through various different places in this psalm, it seems that the kind of saving help that it's talking about here is from our enemies. That's what the psalm is about. Oh Lord, save us. Someone who's running to the Lord for refuge is someone who looks up and says, Lord, save us from this situation. Save us from these enemies. Now, how do we pray that as a church? Well, I think as we head into another new year, there's a growing sense, isn't there, in our country that they do not like the things that the Bible teaches. They don't like what the Bible teaches about sexuality. They don't like what the Bible teaches about marriage. They don't like what the Bible teaches about the way that we're to treat one another necessarily. And so what are we facing? We're facing increasing hostility. What does the church pray as it faces these demands on us to be silent, to not speak, to not hold these views? What do we pray? Oh Lord, save us. We need your help. In our countries, perhaps all over the world, if you follow the story of the persecuted church, we find that there are Christians who are intimidated, who are put in prison. There are Christians that are followed by government agents. There are Christians who even now are being tortured because they trust in Jesus. What do we pray? Oh Lord, save us. Notice it's an us. It's a church prayer. It's not just, you know, me, save me from my little problems, although that's a good thing to pray. It's an us. Lord, save us. The New Testament tells us that we have an enemy, the devil, who prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And what do we pray as we face him, as day in, day out, we face his fiery darts, his temptations upon us? What do we pray? Oh, Lord, save us. That's what it looks like to run to the Lord in refuge. You pray this prayer, oh Lord, save us. As our Lord Jesus taught us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And you know what? It's not just things out there that I need saving from, and I'm sure you're like me, but I often need saving from myself. Do you find that's true? I need saving from my own waywardness. In verse 18, you can look there, but it talks about the Lord has chastened me severely because the Lord disciplines those he loves. And what do we pray when I'm faced with my own stupidity, when I'm faced with my own desires that pull me in the wrong direction? What do I pray? Oh Lord, save me. Oh Lord, when we face it together, save us. See, as we find ourselves caught in those situations, we pray, oh Lord, save us. That's what it looks like, friends, if you're going to be verse 8 and 9, to trust in the Lord, to run to him for refuge more than others. To cry to the Lord, oh, save us. Prayer number 2. You still with me? Here's prayer number 2. Oh Lord, grant us success. The Lord doesn't just call us to action, but he calls us to dependent action. Notice the plural. You see, I suspect that lots of us could own this prayer by ourselves. Oh, Lord, grant me success. You know, grant me the ability to do this thing I'm about to do. But it's really interesting because the prayer here is an us. Grant us success, which means it makes it about the people of God. Lord, grant the people of God success, which then makes the prayer request more about God than it does about us. Why? Because God has bound his reputation up with us lot. Isn't that remarkable? He has bound his reputation on this planet up with local churches like ours. And so when we pray, oh Lord, you've given us jobs to do. Oh Lord, grant us success. And actually, again, in this prayer, in this psalm, it is about battle. So, oh Lord, please grant us success in the battle that we encounter. Now, that's not a battle with swords or with tanks or with guns, but the Bible tells us it's a battle against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And we need to pray as we head out into 2019, oh Lord, grant us success. Grant us success as we face the enemy. Please would we not give in to the devil's schemes. But actually, it also means that we ask the Lord for success in the task that he's left us to do. See, in the Great Commission, now, if you're here next Sunday, we're going to be thinking about the Great Commission in Matthew's Gospel together. But what does he say? Go make disciples of all nations. Now, a church that has been left that task, what do they pray if they're taking refuge in the Lord, if they're trusting in the Lord more than man? We pray, O Lord, grant us success. O Lord, as we head out and we do your work, grant us success. You see, if we're trusting in man, what we'll say is, oh, if we do this and we do that, then more people will come to church. But if we're trusting in the Lord, we'll say, oh Lord, grant us success as we seek to tell people about Jesus. You see how it works? Two very simple prayers. But what does it look like as a church to be those who are running to the Lord for refuge rather than trusting in man? It looks like saying, oh Lord, save us. When we find ourselves in situations that we cannot help ourselves, we pray, oh Lord, save us. Save us from the enemy. Save us from our sinfulness. Save us from those who would oppose us. Oh Lord, save us. But it also means praying, oh Lord, grant us success. That's what it looks like to trust in the Lord, which is better than trusting in man. So may God help us to pray these things regularly this year. Oh Lord, can we say them together? Oh Lord, save us. And O Lord, grant us success.